Praise the Lord. God is good, amen. Tonight we'll continue to speak about the value of God's rebuke. And we will start from the book of Hebrews. I always remember the story when King Saul, she went to that witchcraft, and how she brought a demon out from the from her store of demons, and where the demon came to him and spoke to him, the demon told him, "Why you disturb me?" Because he thought that somewhere. And he told him that tomorrow that you and your children will be with me. He did not rebuke him, and he told him, repent, that he needed. And the witch, what she did, she told him, don't leave, let me prepare for you dinner. And she brought her calf, and she roast the calf and prepare bread, and I think some dairy products with her, and she put it in the front of Saul without also rebuking him. Second day he was end up in hell. The church should rebuke people to the very end of my life. I have committed myself to the Lord, even in my bed of death. If I will see sin, I will rebuke it. Because I know there is a blessing will come to that person and to me and to God's church when we rebuke people for their sin. The true love is when we rebuke. Hebrews chapter 12. And let's read verse 5 to verse 8. Christ drive out demon by rebuke. And when we flatter, we invite demons. We invite sicknesses. We invite bondages. And we kick the blessing of God far away from us when we flatter sin and flatter people wrongdoing and condone them. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which is speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the testing of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, therefore whereof are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Let's pray. God, thank you for this night. Thank you for your word that you send always to your church on time to hear us, to help us, to support us, to strengthen us. I pray that your word that sent tonight will give life to us in the name of Jesus. Will give us revival. Will give us good health. Will drive out demons and set us free from bondages in the name of Jesus. And what my lips and put statements and verses that your people will be taught. Your people will get direction. Your people get revived and get correction and move in the way that you want them to move. I pray in the name of Jesus that the healing, deliverance, salvation, and workers to be raised up, O God, that they will serve you wholeheartedly. I pray, take the message beyond the walls and make it reach and penetrate nations and languages and even continents, and bring the fruit that you desire to see in the life of your church and your people. We thank and we praise you. This is all we ask and pray in His name. Amen. There are two words that we have repeated here. The first word is testing. It has been repeated 4 or 5 times. Chastisement, it means painful and affliction of discipline. And the other word is rebuke. That is the word in verse 5. The Greek word that he used for chastisement, the word is baidia. And the word that he used for rebuke, he used the word, the Greek word is elingo. Today we will discuss the word elingo, where this word we found in the Bible, the word rebuke. And what you say here, if you are not chastised, if you are not rebuked, you are not son of God. When God accepts you, He will chastise you. Chastisement is painful, an affliction of discipline. And if we are not chastised, if we are not rebuked, He says that you are no more son of God, but you are bastards, means that you are not born by the Holy Spirit. There is a value of God's rebuke. And the children of God will be tested, as we have spoken before, with the rebuke and the chastisement. Those that whom He loved, He rebuked, and He also chastised. After the rebuke and chastisement, some they leave, they go away from God, but those who belong to Him, they will stay. Those who leave after they have been rebuked, they are bastards. Yeah? They are not belong to God. But those who remain after the rebuke, they will stay. Those who belong to Him, they will stay. And they will take heed of the rebuke that they have received from the Lord. So there is a value in the church rebuke. We can't differentiate. We can't separate between sin and righteousness. In Matthew chapter 18, I don't afraid when I rebuke people or in select discipline. Those belong to God, they will not leave. And those who are coming for other agenda, they are the first ones, they will move away. And I know they are bastards. But let me tell you something, if the bastards repent, they will come back. It will not be hard for them when they will repent. They will come back. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15, when the Lord says, He says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou shalt gain thy brother. Now here, the word that the Lord used, go and tell him his, go and tell him his fault. The word healing, go. Go and convict him. Go and convince him, you know? Convince. Go and try to refute your stand and make him that what he's doing is a sin. go and show that person from the scripture what is the wrong that he is doing. That is how we love one another. Nowadays, people become the opposite. They will consider when you rebuke that you hate the people. No. Never. When you keep it quiet and calm about sin, you hate your brethren. In the book of Leviticus, he said, don't hurt your brother in your heart. Rebuke him openly. Go face to face. And that's what Jesus taught us. If your brother trespass, go and tell him his fault between you and him. Confrontation. That fear of man should be go away. We should fear God and go to the sin and deal with it on the spot. That's how we show that we love God our Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We are discussing here the word Elinko. In Hebrews is rebuke. In Matthew, go and tell, go and show the fault. First Corinthians chapter 14, what Paul say? That's why anyone wants to speak, I say, please, bring your Bible and come. Our language is the Bible language. If we cannot speak from the Bible, then we are experts. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 24, Paul says to the church in Corinth, their service was full of tongues, and people coming inside the worship, they don't know what they are saying. What he told them in verse 24, but if all prophesy, and there came and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. You know the word convinced here, elingo. When he will hear the message, he will be convinced by his sin. He will be reproved, he will be judged by all. How do you judge him? By the word of God. Even without confrontation, if somebody coming from outside, when he hears the message from the scriptures, well rightly divided, led by the Holy Spirit, and delivered, they will be convinced of their sin. They will say, those guys, they know us. And those, verse 25, and those are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. What they will give him, they give him the word of God, he will listen to it. And the secret of his heart will be open. And he will know that God was there because he hears the word of God. He was reproved, convinced, judged by the word of God that was delivered in their church teaching. See the value of God's rebuke? How salvation will flow? You know, Satan likes such churches when there is no teaching, activities, and songs, and dancing, and they will read the Bible from the mobile, yeah, and the cooking going on, and the activities without rebuking. That was Satan like. Sin will be covered and consumed, and hell will be filled with sin. John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse 20. When Christ was speaking with Nicodemus, he told him why people, they don't like to come to the light. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Why people, they don't come for Bible study, they don't come for counseling, they don't come to open up, because they are afraid of their light. Because they are afraid that their deeds will be rebuked, their deeds will be reproved. That is correct. So, it is, when we correct somebody, when we rebuke somebody, it is a spiritual battle between light and darkness. And there is a part of it that we need to convince. Usually not us, the Holy Spirit will convince us through us. We need to be ready to pass through these experiences, that we should believe that, and we should have faith. When we deliver the Word of God, the Rhema that He wants us to deliver, there should be manifestation, there should be achievement, there should be progress, there should be people get saved. John chapter 8 and verse 9. When Jesus, they brought to him the woman, they brought her and the woman, she is caught into adultery. And he knew their hypocrisy, because they brought the woman without bringing the man. Cannot be, with whom she made it, where is the man? They don't know how to do it, they know. So what he will tell them, he this is verse 7, when they were testing him. You see, when we deal with Hippocratic people, we should know what to speak. Why the Pharisees, they don't know what they need to do? They should bring the man, they should get witnesses. They came to test the Lord. We deal in our lives people who are hypocrites. They want to trap us. We need to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, what we need to speak to them. Never answer somebody when you are angry. Never take a decision when things are not clear. Sit down with the Lord. I used to do what I used to do. When I need to do something, I'm not clear, I start to put thoughts. I pray, I put thoughts. I pray and I put words. Until I finalize and I'm convinced that this is what I need to speak or what I need to say. There's a time that we need to speak something on the spot. Jesus said, don't worry. The Holy Spirit will give you the word that you need to say. But if you are convinced that the Holy Spirit does not want you to speak anything, please don't speak until He speaks to you. The Lord told him in verse 7, so when they continue asking Him, He lifted up Himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And verse 8, and again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Verse 9, and they which heard it, being convicted, being ilingo, the word ilingo here is convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When we rebuke, we impart conviction to the conscience of people, that they cannot resist the power and the work of God, of His Word on our lips. Book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 11. What Apostle Paul, he advised the Philippians. He says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Show them that is wrong, as sin, expose them. Deal with them by exposing their wrong doing. Again, the word reprove here, the root word in the Greek is ringo. So we don't consume, we don't cover. When we cover up sin and condone sin, we don't love the people. We hate the people. But when we reprove them, convince them it is sin, they will be having hope to repent. We don't deprive them repentance when we rebuke them. Book of 1 Timothy chapter 5. And verse 20. First Timothy chapter 5 verse 20. Paul says to Timothy, them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. Those who sin need to be reproved, need to be rebuked publicly, to be corrected. Why? So the other will be enlightened with the teaching. And you know, those who does not repent when they are rebuked, God more expose the sin to combat the false teaching. You know, somebody say, the pastor rebuked us and we left the church because I have boyfriends. I am happy if they will speak outside. That is the teaching that the church is that they should need. They should hear. If somebody leaves the church and say, pastor rebuked me because I did not give my tithe, that's what I want the other church to hear. That's the word of God. That is how the message will go. I always, when I deliver the word of God, I take it in a godly way. There will be a fruit one day. I have done my part. As long as I deliver the message, I am satisfied. I can speak. Sometimes I am sick. Till the time I deliver the message, I feel well. You know, sometimes I am like a pregnant lady. I can't move until delivery. And I tell you something, you never believe, whenever I rebuke somebody on sin, I am having bonus in my hand. As if I did a vitamin. Bonus of the Holy Spirit. blessing of God. And I'm filled with the Holy Spirit to declare to Jacob his sin. James 2 verse 9. We need to learn. We need to apply. He was rebuking him, Apostle James, because when they were serious people, they are adoring them. They give them privileges. When they see poor people, they don't regard them. What you told them, Apostle James? But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. When you rebuke, the people will be convinced that they had break the law of God. When the Holy Spirit directs us to rebuke somebody or deal with sin, we need to fear God, not the people. Yes, wisdom needed, patience needed, fruit of the Holy Spirit needed, but when God already decided to do something, and He wants to deal with certain sin, we cannot postpone. And the judgment of God, when He's sending it to deal with that particular issue at that day, at that moment, no one can delay it. And Apostle James says, have no respect to any person. There is a nice story in Luke chapter 3. The story of John the Baptist, when he rebuked, whom he rebuked, John the Baptist, he wrote, John the Baptist, he rebuked, he wrote. But Herod, verse 19, but Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evil which Herod had done, verse 20, added yet this above all, that he shut up John in prison. He put him in jail. Why? Because John reproved him, rebuke him, convince him that his marriage with Herodias is a sin. No, Herod is not a believer. And I am not much convinced why John the Baptist needs to go to Herod and rebuke him. He is not a believer, right? And the Bible says that he was, you know, admiring John. He liked listening to John the Baptist. But when he was reproved by John the Baptist, he put him in jail. Now, there's one thing important. Why John the Baptist reproved that king for that issue? Marriage, one of the things that the church had neglected much, especially unlawful marriages. When Christ came, before Christ came, whom God sent? John the Baptist. And after John the Baptist came, Christ came, the ministry of God between them is 6 months, but God is doing things organized according to His word. You know, John the Baptist represents the office of the priest. His father is a priest. And Jesus represents the office of the king. And the sin of marriage, wrong marriage and divorce, if we read the New Testament, was tackled with both John the Baptist and our Lord Jesus Christ. Because sin of marriage, now this man, he lives in adultery. There is no way for him to be forgiven unless he lives all the rest of his life without woman. Sure, the Holy Spirit was speaking through John the Baptist. Maybe at that time, such kind of immorality, such kind of wrong marriage is not less as if now. Maybe the cases were less in number. That's why John the Baptist was able to reach non-believers, not like now. Now we speak about marriage, let me deal with the tears that under my confession. Amen? Let God deal with the outside. But when the curses are less inside, God give us opportunity to deal with curses outside. Because ungodly marriage, and woe to the church who ordain ungodly marriages, ungodly marriages or unprepared marriages, lead up to children who does not fear God. It endures the sin to the next generation. And that's why John the Baptist reproved Herod because he married the wife of his brother. His brother is still alive. He got his wife. And wife is a property. And Christ corrected also in Matthew 19 and also in Mark. When the Pharisees, they came to him, he told them, but it was not like that from the beginning. When they spoke about divorce, Christ brought them back to Genesis 2, where there is no marriage, where there is the man cannot choose his wife, the man cannot bring the wife, the man cannot bring the time that he likes, but was prepared, and when he was ready, while he was sleeping, God took the woman from his side and brought her to him. He did not choose her. He did not get any input to God about what kind of woman he wants. All was belong to the Lord. So both of them, the office of the priest, represented by John the Baptist, and the office of the king, represented by our Lord Jesus Christ, both of them address the sin of marriage, wrong marriages, and the sin of divorce. Because godly offspring is so much needed. And God allows the office of marriage between man and woman, not for pleasure, but in order to raise up godly children. The church should reprove, amen? Should reprove the members, the workers, the brethren everywhere, and even the world should see that the Word of God in Genesis 2 manifested and lived by us. Let's stand. In Proverbs chapter 28, Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 23 says, he that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. Do you want favor from people? Correct them. Do you want favor from your children? This is what the Bible says. Rebuke them. You want favor from the world around you, don't accept their sin. say, no, we don't do these things. God did not say that. Be willing to submit to God. I know one thing, that on earth I will live once. I will not reincarnate again. This is my chance now to serve the Lord. As long as I am having full conscience and having mind, God call me accountable to reprove, correct, to convince with that truth, using His word to bring the gospel, to bring the message to the people who need it. Yes, I need more love, more power, more of Him in my life. The true love is when we tell the people the truth. You know, when we flatter, we book people with a ticket to hell. Woe unto us! Let us repent of our sin. When we have regard to person and to people, we are sinning, as Apostle James says. Let's repent. The people that we meet today, the people that God has a place in our life, our children, our families, when we don't reprove them, who is then will reprove them? How the Holy Spirit will work on them if they are not willing to do our part? Let us repent, church. Oh God, give me power. I am willing to serve you. I am willing to tell the truth to my children, to the church members, to my brothers and sisters, to those, oh God, who are near to me, oh Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus, empower me, oh God, with your grace. Oh God, we pray that, and we hope, and we trust, that more love as we come into our life, more love, more power, more of you. You are the truth. You do not come to flatter, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, you never flatter sin, but you rebuke. I pray that our church meeting, our congregation, all of them will speak your word in truth in full, so that people who come in will be convinced that God is among us. Oh Lord, and they will be examined, they will be proved by the Holy Spirit, everything. Yes, oh Lord. Hear our prayer. Yes, oh God, more love. More power. More of you, Lord.
Lord,
we love
my heart.
God, thank you, Lord, for your watch out. As you come into our life to you, to save you. We trust you, God, that you lead us to do the very things, oh God, that you want us in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that be a fruit and harvest of righteousness. That people continue to serve you wholeheartedly. I pray for courage and boldness to those who are willing. Prepare them and prepare the field that you are sending them to speak the truth in love, convince people, to get them delivered out of darkness, O God, so that the life of the people will be changed and there will be healing. There will be new things that you will build up in their life. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. God bless us. Enlarge our territory, God. Let your hand be with us. And keep us, Lord, from harm, so that you will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all in His name. Amen and amen. Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.